It's Monday, June 24th, AD 2019. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. On June 12th, a group of Christians in India were arrested by police on a train moving from the city of Tamil Nadu to the inland town, reports International Christian Concern. Although proselytizing is not illegal there in India, and the Christians were only sharing their faith with passengers who wanted to hear it, when a video appeared online, the police received a lot of external pressure to arrest. Alvin Dupree Jr. loves God, and it's not that much of a secret around Appleton, Wisconsin, notes Todd Starnes of Fox News. He's the pastor of a local church and currently serves on the Board of Education. His campaign platform boasted that he was, quote, a man of God first, end quote, and he would stand for Christian values. So when Pastor Dupree was invited to deliver the commencement address on June 6th at North High School, it should not have surprised anyone when he mentioned his relationship with Jesus Christ.
Whatever your source of strength is, never let anyone make you hide it. For me, my source of strength is my faith, my relationship with Jesus Christ.
1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." As his speech came to a close, school board member and Pastor Dupree edited his script to send his students out on a blessing. Listen.
It's my pleasure to commend each of you for your achievement and to publicly and formally accept the Appleton North High School. Now, it was typed out to say best wishes, but I'm changing their script to what I would say, God bless.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation not only sent a letter demanding the pastor be banned from speaking at future graduations, but the God-hating group asked that his fellow school board members condemn Dupree's alleged unconstitutional conduct and take steps to remove him from the board if necessary. Pastor Dupree, a veteran, said, quote, "I won't be silenced. I fought for the freedom of speech. I have a father who served in the Army. My daughter serves in the Army. My wife served in the Navy. And we all believe in serving God, serving our country, serving our communities," end quote. Stay tuned for a Worldview special report about how Christians need to help vulnerable victims of sex trafficking. On Saturday, Planned Parenthood Action Fund hosted a Democratic presidential forum in South Carolina, with 11 of the contenders in attendance, including 4 of the top 5. 48 hours earlier, Republican Senator Ben Sass of Nebraska, who is the one who introduced the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, delivered a blistering speech from the floor of the Senate, blasting the Democrats' abortion extremism. First, Sass explained what exactly Planned Parenthood is, since they hosted the Democratic presidential forum.
Planned Parenthood is the country's largest abortion business. That's their main staple operation. Last year, Planned Parenthood reported committing more than 330,000 abortions, somewhere between one-third and one-half of all abortions committed in America last year. Planned Parenthood's president has said that providing, protecting, and expanding access to abortion is part of the organization's, quote, core mission, close quote. And it does this work with the help of more than $500 million in annual subsidies from the federal government, that is, from taxpayers across this country, many of whom believe that abortion is immoral.
Then, Senator Sass linked Planned Parenthood to the Democratic presidential candidates.
Today, the radical things that the nation's largest abortion business wants are basically indistinguishable from the position of every Democrat now running for president. Abortion, anytime, anywhere, for any reason, for free. And in fact, it's actually worse than this, because the position of every senator currently running for the Democratic nomination, and at least one governor, is that a living, breathing baby who survives an abortion procedure can still be left to die after birth. All 7 senators currently running for the Democratic presidential nomination voted against the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act earlier this year, and Governor Bullock of Montana vetoed a state-level version of that bill.
Not surprisingly, the Democratic presidential candidates have taken nearly $200,000 from Planned Parenthood, reports LifeNews.com. You can watch Senator Sass's entire 12-minute pro-life speech, which should be required viewing for all homeschool students, And you can read a transcript of it through two links in our transcript today at theworldview.com. Last Tuesday night, Satanic Temple member Iris Fontana, who won the right to open the Kenai Peninsula Borough Meeting in Alaska with an invocation, prayed to the first rebel whom God kicked out of heaven with a third of the angels into hell, reports thehill.com. Fontana prayed, quote, "Let us cast aside our differences to use reason, logic, science, and compassion to create solutions for the greater good for our community. That which will not bend must break, and that which can be destroyed by truth should never be spared as demise. It is done. Hail Satan," end quote, reports Kenai radio station KSRM. Assembly members Norm Blakely and Paul Fisher were among a dozen who walked out. Borough Mayor Charlie Pierce personally emailed me and told me that he chose not to attend the invocation and came to the meeting late. Plus, 40 people protested outside. God spoke this prophecy to Satan in Genesis 3:15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. Jesus Christ will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Rhonda Dickoff of West Fargo, North Dakota, emailed me at adam@theworldview.com. She wrote, quote, "Adam, I just read your email about the beginnings of the Worldview in 5 Minutes newscast, and the Spirit convicted me to contribute. My daughter, homeschooling 4 of our 6 grandchildren, recommended you to us 2 to 3 years ago, and we've missed very few newscasts since. My husband does a certain 5-minute exercise during your program, after which we retire for the night. Thank you for your hard work, and yes, especially scripture that you include. It really does put things into perspective. I've forwarded several newscasts to friends and siblings. Praying for you all, and may God be glorified as we work and await his shout," end quote. Chris Dalton of Colorado wrote and said, quote, "I just wanted to thank you for all your work on the broadcast and throughout the ministry. I spend my whole day on the computer and in email, so I appreciate being able to read the daily emails. I sometimes forget I can listen to it, but when I do, it's like a breath of fresh air to my spirit. I always feel the length, the focus, and the message are all spot on where they should be. Keep up the great work and be encouraged. My family loves it, and we frequently tell others about it," end quote. And Godfrey Kiazi, a listener from Uganda, Africa, wrote to say, quote, "Thanks, Adam, Kevin, and the crew at The Worldview for your diligence on this program. Personally, it keeps me abreast with what's happening around the world. But mostly I'm helped to discern through issues, so I'm able to respond in a God-honoring manner. Prayers to you all at Generations," end quote. As you know, our goal this month is to raise $50,000 to get out of the red in terms of the expenses of producing The Worldview in 5 minutes. As of Friday morning, the remnant of listeners had given or pledged $22,200. On Friday and Saturday, 22 Worldview listeners stepped up to the plate and became new donors. That's phenomenal. Our thanks to Brittany in Biloxi, Mississippi for her $15 gift. Ryan in Abbeville, Alabama, and Hannah in Rothsay, Minnesota, both of whom gave $25. We're grateful to God for George in Carrollton, Missouri for his $50 gift, John and Kate in Cleves, Ohio for their $60 gift, and Mark in St. Charles, Illinois, William in Pineville, Louisiana, and Gregory in Airdrie, Alberta, Canada, each of whom pledged $10 monthly for a year for a total gift of $120 each. We appreciate the generosity of Cody in Tremont, Illinois, and Douglas in Forest, Virginia, both of whom gave $100. Rick in Kailua Kona, Hawaii, who gave a $100 gift, and Robin in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, who pledged $20 monthly for a year for a total gift of $240. Special thanks to Stephanie in Jefferson, Maryland, Heath in Callahan, Colorado, Daniel in Bumpus, Virginia, Keith in Lititz, Pennsylvania, Moyo in Ipswich, Suffolk, United Kingdom, and Sarah in Edgewood, New Mexico, each of whom pledged $25 monthly for a year for a total gift of $300 each. And finally, we're grateful to God for Gabrielle in Goodyear, Arizona, who pledged $30 monthly for a year for a total gift of $360. Chris from Whitesboro, Texas, and Victor and Cassie in Cavalier, North Dakota, both of whom pledged $50 monthly for a year for a total gift of $600 each. And Amber in Pleasantville, Iowa, for her $750 gift. Those 25 gifts totaled $5,285, which is a record, surpassing our previous high-water mark of $3,000. Ready for the new grand total? Drum roll, please. 27,485. In order to hit our $50,000 goal by this Friday, June 28th, I need to raise $5,628 today and each day this week. Can you step up to the plate and be one of the 9 Worldview listeners who will generously pledge $50 per month for a year for a total gift of $600? Or one of 18 Worldview listeners who will give $25 per month for a year for a total gift of $300? Please go to theworldview.com. Click on Give on the top right. And then make your pledge. And don't forget to click the recurring monthly donation button if that's your wish. Thank you in advance for your sacrificial help. And that's The World View in 5 minutes. On this Monday, June 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2019. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. Or get the Generations app through Google Play or the App Store. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. Because of the sensitive nature of this next story, you might want to skip it for any young listeners listening. Time now for a Worldview Special Report by Emily Swanson. I'm Adam McManus. In a recent interview with the Christian Post, Raleigh Sadler, founder of Let My People Go, said that the church needs to be part of sniffing out human trafficking and helping end it. He said that a pastor called him from a church in Ridgewood, Queens, New York, about a young woman whom he suspected was being trafficked. Within the next few months, the Lord enabled the church communities there to shut down 24 massage parlors that were fronts for brothels. Author Raleigh Sadler and founder of the ministry Let My People Go, an organization that is specifically targeted at helping churches fight human sex slavery, spoke to The Worldview in a recent interview and said that most people in churches do not know what to do about this problem.
Most often when I speak in churches, I come across really well-meaning people who have no idea what to do. And that's basically why I started Let My People Go. Let My People Go exists to empower the local church to fight human trafficking, this big mega issue, by loving those who are most vulnerable to it. Because at the end of the day, human trafficking is the exploitation of vulnerability for commercial gain. Traffickers, whether they traffic for sex, labor, or domestic servitude, are ultimately focusing on those on the fringe.
He said that traffickers go after the weakest and take advantage of them, and churches need to reach out to those people.
They're finding those who are in the margins, and they're exploiting weakness. They're taking people who have horrible options, if any, and saying, hey, you need a place to stay, I'll give you a place to stay. You need food, I'll give you some food. You need this, I'll give you whatever you need, but it's going to come at a cost. This is tainted love at best.
Sadler said the church needs to show the unconditional love of Christ. That is the opposite of the tainted love that traffickers offer.
So what would it look like for the church to care for the same population in their community, but rather than exploit, they actually meet that need? Rather than demand, they actually give graciously.
He said that naturally we want to protect ourselves, and it takes courage to want to protect others.
Left on our own, we as Christians, mainly we as humans, will focus on protecting ourselves over protecting other people. And what I love about the gospel of Jesus Christ is it ultimately declares that God became man. He lived amongst us, but he suffered amongst us, and he did that for us to the point where he would suffer on a cross, paying the penalty of our sin, but ultimately rising to vindicate us, to make us right with God. And what I love about this is we're following a king who was sacrificed.
Sadler said that the more Christ followers meditate on the power of the gospel, the king dying for us, the more it motivates them to reach out to others who need the gospel.
As we ultimately really relish that and think on that and kind of take that in, we are motivated to love our neighbors, to love those around us. And that's a big game changer, because at the end of the day, that the only way to really crucify our Messiah complexes is by taking them to a crucified Messiah. It's by realizing, man, we are free now. No one can take anything from us. We have our inheritance in Christ. So what does it look like to take a risk? What does it look like to love our neighbor, even if it costs us something?
Zechariah 7:10 encourages Christians to step out in this area. Do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. He encouraged Christians to realize that it takes stepping out of your comfort zone to reach those who do not have the same life story as you do.
I don't know if you're anything like me, but sometimes I find myself surrounding myself with people who have the same struggles as me, because anyone else who has a different struggle or a different focus on the world, that's exhausting for me, and I typically, in my flesh, don't want to spend time with them. And really what I've had to learn over the last several years is that the key to my personal growth is to get out of my box, and it's to walk with other people who are going through their own thing.
Sadler said that people who are trafficked are often people who are in need of good friends to walk with them.
When you're dealing with people who are trafficked, for the most part, these people aren't just being kidnapped or anything. I mean, that can and does happen, but it's a relatively small percentage. Oftentimes, these are people who are exploited by their family. They're exploited by those whom they trust. And so we as the church, we have to come across these lines and really help build trust. And that takes time.
He encouraged those reaching out to remember that people who have been exploited will not readily trust someone, even from the church, because they have been abandoned by the church before.
People have been hurt, and so when you're dealing with people who've been traumatized, that is, and so they may not reciprocate your kindness immediately. They may not trust you. The people that you're caring for, whether they be new immigrants or those who are homeless or those who are at risk, and children who are at risk in a foster care system, or those who have been in cyclical poverty or cyclical substance abuse or what have you, when they see a church coming alongside, you know, they've heard that story before, and they've seen people care until it was not advantageous for them.
Sadler remarked that what's really needed is unconditional love.
That's how we work sometimes, and ultimately grace frees us to love without any guarantee of reciprocity.
He recently wrote a book called Vulnerable, Rethinking Human Trafficking, and talked about why being vulnerable with our own weaknesses to others, humbled at the cross, is one of the best ways to help those who are vulnerable to human trafficking. Sadler talked about the message behind the book, which came out this year.
Because I really wanted people to know that anyone can do something. Oftentimes we, for fear of the subject matter, we do absolutely nothing. What would it look like to do something that is actually helpful and ultimately treats the person you're trying to care for as a person to be loved rather than a problem to be solved? I wrote Vulnerable, Rethinking Human Trafficking with one primary thesis in mind, that God motivates vulnerable people like you and I to love other vulnerable people by becoming vulnerable for us.
Hebrews 4:15 speaks directly to this concept. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He reminded Christians that at the cross of Christ, we are all on equal ground in our need for Christ Jesus, no matter the situation.
As we care for people, it's no longer an us and them, because it's all us. We're all vulnerable. Our issues may be different, but we have issues. And if we come like that to an issue, to a person, to someone who's struggling, and we say, you know, our struggles may be different, but at the end of the day, I'm just as broken as you, and I'm one medical emergency away from being on the street, and can I walk alongside of you? Because when you're on the same level, you're no longer reaching down to pull someone up. You're walking with them, and I think that's a perspective we need to adopt as Christians, because that ultimately will create trust and relevance to those who are hurting among us.
To get a copy of Sadler's book, go to a special link in our transcript. To find out more about Let My People Go, we have a link there as well at theworldview.com. Let us, as the Church of Jesus Christ, step out against human cruelty and this evil slavery, and say with the Lord in Exodus 9:1, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." This has been a Worldview Special Report. I'm Adam McManus.